Katie Perry, and today I'm joined with Sean Leach, who is the Chief Product Architect at Fastly. I'm excited that Sean is joining me today because Fastly is a well-known tech company, and it's really known for its content delivery network, CDN, and related technology. I'm wondering, Sean, can you just tell me more about the evolution of Fastly and what it has become as a security company?
Sure. So like you said, we started out as a really well-known and popular content delivery network. We're well-known for allowing you to program the edge in that regards. Like CDNs kind of back in the day were a little bit boring in that they just kind of serve video and static content. But Fastly was really different in that we let you program the edge as well, so you could move your application logic out as close to the end user and the client as possible and allow customers to do some really amazing things on top of us. With that, and because of the fact that we sat in such a privileged position in front of all of their applications, all of their APIs and their websites, they wanted to move more and more out onto our edge cloud, as we call it. So running code, doing security protection and detection, it makes a lot of sense to move it out as close to your handheld device, your laptop, the attacker themselves. So it makes a lot of sense to move that security technology and protection out at that edge. And that's really where we got our start on the security side. And we just have these amazing customers who do such creative things with us, and then they trust us, so they want even more from us. And so it was a great mix in that regards.
From your perspective, what are the most serious security threats organizations face today? I know that 2020 and 2021 has been two crazy years for threats. So I'm curious where you think the most serious ones stand today.
Yeah, I mean, there's the easy one I could say, which is ransomware, because that's everywhere. And it's truly is the most serious security threat. But I feel like there's a lot of really smart people who've talked about that in the past. I mean, from our perspective, what we see a lot of application layer security threats, meaning threats to your web applications, your APIs, your network infrastructure. And so what we've seen really take off lately is denial of service attacks. That's one of those threats that it's very cyclical, where I've been in this business for over 20 years now, and I've been part of defending against most of the big DDoS attacks of the past, just as part of my career path. And it's always interesting to me to see, like, they're a big threat, then they're not a problem anymore for a while. Then they're a big threat, and then they're not a problem anymore for a while. And we're starting to see them come back into the fold and become more and more of a threat to businesses. And they do cause such issues when resiliency is such, and uptime is such a critical component of businesses these days. 20 years ago, not everybody was online. Now everybody is. And with COVID, we've done 3 years of digital transformation in like 3 weeks in 2020. And so now that everything's online, DDoSes are obviously a very concerning component of that. Application level security, when you combine things like account takeover and web like app and API threats, we see that really spiking up again in terms of not just the number, but of the complexity of it. And now that everything is online and everything you do from ordering food to buying a ticket to buying like a new pair of Yeezys or something like that online, there's just more people or more attackers trying to take advantage of all that commerce and functionality online. And then I'd say the third thing we've really seen spike up the last 2 years is more like, it's like supply chain security, but like you build an application these days and you depend on a lot of third parties to compose that application. So instead of you having to build all the functionality, you use APIs and source code from other companies as part of you building your application. Well, your security is completely dependent on the security of those third parties and that code. I mean, we saw that with some of the supply chain attacks earlier last year. This year, in terms of like compromised JavaScript libraries that people are including in their code. And so those are the big ones that we see our customers talk about the most.
So related to the last question, there's many threats, and I'm really curious what the most critical gaps are in organizations' security architectures. And then off of that, are security vendors able to adequately keep up and protect their clients as the security threats continue to evolve? Are they possibly adapting more quickly than vendors can adapt?
I think the biggest gap that I see is not knowing the dependencies that they have. Like I was mentioning previously, on the supply chain side, on the DDoS side, the resiliency side, out like there's security threats that are targeted towards the dependencies of your application. Again, are cause just as much damage as the security threats targeted at your application, and the availability and the downtime of those third party components is again just as detrimental to the availability and resilience of your application. And so I really feel like that's the biggest gap, is that people don't realize that. And so they spend all of their time securing and making highly available their infrastructure of their application, but not all the things that it depends on. And so when something happens to one of those things, they're surprised, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to respond. That's what I talk about a lot with our customers, is inventorying all of those assets, those dependencies, and then understanding what would happen if one of those was either compromised or down. So that's a big one. There is software that helps with a lot of those vectors these days, in terms of, as more and more people have moved to the DevOps kind of mantra and application development process, what it does is it allows them to start to automate a lot of those things I just talked about. So you're writing software, you check in code, and then you can automatically spin up a check for vulnerabilities in the third-party code that's included with, bugs that you may have introduced in your own code. What are all of the dependencies of this code? And they can outline it for you so that you can start to investigate that better. There's an entire group of security products out there called Attack Service Management. And what they do is they enumerate for you all the places, the surface area of your network, and where attackers could go after that surface area, just to show you so you can start to evaluate risk and protection and all that. And you can automate that now as well. And with that inventory, you can start to look at the resiliency of those endpoints as well. And I think to your last question around, are they evolving more quickly than the vendors? I mean, attackers are smart. They're developers too. They build their crime as a service solutions, just like some people build SaaS services out there. And they use DevOps and all the other kind of technologies that defenders are using to build applications. So they're very smart. They're very creative. But I feel like there's a lot of great tools and technologies out there that give a lot of hope and tools in the tool chest for the defenders to build better software, to have some more secure supply chain. So I'm really bullish about the quality of some of these tools. Now it's just taking advantage of them, right? They're there. They're not useful until you use them though.
I know you've implemented a research team that really works on threats at Fastly. So what are the specific areas that they focus on, and how are their efforts really going to benefit the Fastly customers?
Yeah, so we, like I mentioned before, we sit in this privileged position where we sit in front of some of the top web applications, APIs out there in terms of number of users that use them, the prominence of them, et cetera. And so with that, our customers expect us not just to be secure ourselves, but also to secure their applications. So there's kind of a two focus areas of security. And so the threat research team, they spend a lot of time thinking like the attacker does, to try and act like the attacker to make our security products better. So they first, that requires them to understand the latest threats, how those threats are being used, and then how those threats relate to our products and our customers and our network. And we very much focus on the things that we have to focus on. So we don't try and reverse engineer Windows malware, because we're not protecting a Windows machine. we're protecting web applications, APIs, and then the kind of the edge network of our platform. And so we spend a lot of time looking at the latest threats in that world, really digging into them and understand how they're being used. And then we use that knowledge for a few things. One, we simulate the attacker against our products and against our engineering team so that they can build better protections in the products themselves. We don't want them to be surprised of some new threat, some new method the attackers are using. We want to be in kind of front of all of that and give them an advantage so they can build those protections into the product. We also want to share those learnings with our customers and the broader internet at large. So we learned something interesting. We write about it. I'm constantly pushing the research team to blog more because it's useful, not just for us and the internal Fastly engineers and our customers and whatnot. It's useful for the broader internet to understand what the latest techniques are. We don't want to just like learn a thing and then keep it to ourselves and not tell everybody and just build it into our products. That doesn't help any. That might help something short term, but it doesn't help the broader and large. It doesn't like make us good people. And so, you know, our roots have always been in the open source space. We built the original like Fastly on top of open source. We've always given away free CDN for open source companies. We're a huge supporter of the open source and movement and method. And so we want to open source our knowledge and our threat intel and what we learn for the internet as well.
As my last question for you, I want to talk about the next year or two at Fastly. You have some amazing initiatives coming up, and I'm curious if you can tell the listeners and the viewers what they are. I know that these are really critical for the market, so I'm curious what you are able to share with us right now.
A few areas we're really focused on. So we acquired Signal Sciences last year. And they were an unbelievable web application and API security company. They had, their customers had such confidence in their solution that they were always running it in block mode, which if you don't have block mode is the thing you need to do, because if a security threat comes in, you want to block it. You don't want to just sit there and say like, hey, there was a threat that went through. You might want to go look at that later, right? You want to block it. And the only way you can put something in block mode is to feel confident that you're not going to block a legitimate user. You're going to stop a real threat and not block a legitimate user trying to use the site. We wanted, and with Signal Sciences, it previously ran in the data center. It ran in the cloud infrastructure, like in your Kubernetes clusters and whatnot. But our customers, many of them want to run security at the edge. So on our edge network, like I talked about earlier, as close to the attacker as possible. And so we spent most of the time post acquisition, taking their technology and running it in our edge environment. And that's been a big focus area of ours. And why that's important too, is not just moving the security out to the edge, but it's, we want to continue to run security where our customers' applications are. So if our customers' applications in a data center, it's in the cloud only, or if it's at the edge, we want to be able to run security everywhere. And that's been a big R&D kind of focus area for us. I talked a little bit about the security research team. We want to continue to expand our threat intelligence capabilities, because the more we understand about the attackers, the more we can feed that into the product to secure our customers' applications, and you know, everybody's better off for it. And then again, share that out to the internet at large. And then I think there's always new attack methodologies that require the same level of confidence from a protection perspective. So we pride ourselves in, sure, you could just block everything and then nothing gets through. But we want to make sure that when we do come up with these protections for these new, there's always going to be a new attack type out there, is that when we share that with our customer, when we put that in place in the security products to protect our customers, they can feel confident leaving it in block mode, like we talked about. And so, you know, with the proliferation of APIs and, you know, kind of the new application architectures, we want to make sure that our security technology fits into our customer's application stack and then fits well into their DevOps, secure DevOps, DevSecOps, whatever your preferred term is in that regards. Make sure the tools fit really easy into that, because that's always been Fastly's way and that's always been Signal Sciences' way.
Well, thank you. That's an exciting couple of years coming up, and for your customers and potential customers as well. So I'm excited to see it all come to life.
Yeah, thanks so much for the chat today. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Millennium Live to listen and learn on life and leadership.